We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. Been getting a lot of feedback as well that people listen on 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. So we want to thank you, whatever station you are listening on, for listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God. So today I want to give a mention. We mentioned it earlier this week and want to remind you again that next Saturday and Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m., North Merritt Island United Methodist Church is going to be having a drive-through nativity scene. This is their 20th year to present this free drive-through nativity event. And so if you'd like to put that down on your calendar for either Saturday night or Sunday night, the 12th or the 13th, it will be taking place from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and again, that's 6355 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, North Merritt Island United Methodist Church. So anytime we get an opportunity to mention some community events that go on, we want to take advantage of that. So we also want to say thank you. Normally once a week we mention our businesses that are represented in our congregation that help bring this broadcast to you to some extent. And we'd like to say thank you to those of you who have supported us, that are listening, and you're maybe not a business, but you have supported the program either financially or in prayers or with encouragement. We want to say thank you to you as well and pray that you have just a wonderful Christmas season. So also encourage you, we're getting ready for our gearing up for our Christmas events. And I pray that more than anything that you have set aside, you've designated on your calendar that you are going to be in church this Sunday, that you are going to be coming together and worshiping, you know, at Merritt Assembly of God. This Sunday is Communion Sunday. And so we always look forward to that. Communion is open for all believers. We discourage unbelievers from participating in communion because it's communing with Christ. It's fellowship with Him, and so we before we participate in communion, we always give an opportunity for those who are not believers to become believers, so that they can enjoy the privilege, the benefits that come from celebrating communion. I've heard a lot of people who describe their attitude towards communion. I've heard some funny stuff about communion as well, but I won't mention that. But there was a person that said recently, you know, I always take a moment and repent before I take communion. I've heard other pastors who said, before I go to the pulpit, I always have communion. And so we want to encourage you this Sunday. We will be having our Sunday school at 9:30, our worship service at 10:30, and then we will be having a missionary Sunday night in our Sunday night service at 6:30. So we'd like to invite you out to be a part of those. So on yesterday's broadcast, I was mentioning to you about things that we remember. We don't want to be remembered for our failure. I don't want to be remembered for my failures. I'd like to be remembered for my relationship with Jesus Christ. And today I want to take you to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book before the New Testament. So if you find Matthew and turn left one or two pages, you'll find Malachi chapter 3. It's only a four-chapter book, so you will find it relatively easily. And we do want to pray for those who were impacted by the mass shooting out in California. I believe there was also one in Georgia. And so be praying for those families. I know a lot of families that this time of year is a challenge for them anyway, because they've lost loved ones. And when a person passes away during the holiday season, it doesn't just affect that one day. It has a season-long event attached to it, and there are people who really struggle with that. And so if you know someone going through an issue like that, I want to encourage you to be praying for them, that the joy of the Lord would be a reality in their life, and that the comfort that the Holy Spirit can bring would help them this season as we focus our attention upon Jesus and what he has done for us. So today, a little bit different take on remembering. Today, I want to talk to you about what God remembers. When we are talking about salvation, a lot of times we are celebrating the things that God says that he intends to forget. And that is, whenever we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says he takes our sins and he removes them as far as the east is from the west. There are things that he forgets. And I have a favorite story that someone said about a lady who came up and apologized to another lady. And she said, you know, sometime back I did this, and I just want to apologize for that and ask you to forgive me. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I don't remember that. And the lady said, oh, it was this season, it's where we were. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I don't remember. And she said, well, this is what the circumstances were. And the lady finally, after this one who was apologizing's repeated events, said, oh, I remember distinctly, intentionally forgetting that. And so when we are talking about salvation, we are talking about things that God says he cleanses by the blood, he washes them away, he takes them away from us, and he forgets all about them. Now, there's another aspect, and that is, what does God remember? God remembers when we have asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life, and he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's something that he remembers. Satan never forgets what we have done wrong, and God never forgets those sacrifices that we have made for the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you this Christmas season to be asking God what he would have you to do. A lot of times we ask him to bless the things that we are doing, but I would encourage you to ask God what he would have you to do, because being in the center of his will is the best, the safest, and the most enjoyable place that you will ever be. So with all of that said, let's look in Malachi chapter 3. When I said Malachi chapter 3, probably a lot of people just defaulted and said, oh, he's going to be preaching or teaching about tithing today, because that's the number one message that is preached in Malachi chapter 3. And I want to encourage you that if you are not a person who honors the Lord with a tithe, which he described as holy, I would encourage you to prove God in that. It mentions that here in Malachi chapter 3. It says, and try me now in this, verse number 10, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So, It's one of the only places that you will ever find God says, put me to the test. See if it's not a reality. And I can testify to you that it is a reality in our life. And I could take you to a whole bunch of people at our church that have discovered the joy that God honors and blesses those who honor him with their first fruits. I really like in verse number 11 where it says, God says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I like the fact that God speaks, but those are our messages for another time. Let me, begin reading in verse number 13. It says, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them. And as a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him." The reason I started reading in verse number 13 is because it is very clear in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 that God is eavesdropping on your conversations. He knows the words that you speak. It's not that he is prying. It's not that he is doing something in stealth. Stealth says that you do it and people don't know that you do it. God just flatly out tells you, he says, look, I know the thoughts of your heart. I know the intents of your heart. I know the words that you speak. And the words that these people had spoken were harsh. They said, and then they said, well, what did we say? What have we spoken against you? And it says something like this. And so as I'm going through these conversations that God has remembered, maybe you will find that there are some things that have crossed your mind or crossed your lips, and now you realize, you know, hey, God knows. God knows what I'm going through. He's not going to abandon me. He's not going to forsake me. He's going to be with me. And so it says, you have said it is useless to serve God. It is useless to serve God. Listen, the enemy has not given up hope of turning you back to his way of living. He wants to get you discouraged and depressed. It is a reality that God doesn't always operate on our timetable. I believe that God views time entirely differently than we do. I just do. And so a lot of people, when things do not happen according to their plan, according to their schedule, according to their timing, then they throw up their hands and say, it is useless to serve God. I want you to know that I have come too far to turn back. I do not serve God because I'm a pastor. I pastor because I want to serve God. That's what God has called me to do. You may have a different call in your service for the body of Christ. Not everybody is called to be the pastor. Not everybody is called to be the Sunday school teacher. Not everybody is called to do this or to do that, but everybody is called to do something. You are called to serve in some capacity. And there were people who said, it's useless to serve God. It's no point. There's no profit in it that we have obeyed. Okay. Now, I want you to know that all my life I have striven to be the person who is, you know, would be the good child, the good obedient soldier, and all of that sort of stuff. And I would tell you that even in my efforts to do that, that there were times when I would say, God, I look around and I see people who are not doing things the way according to the Word of God, and they are being blessed. And here I am, I'm trying to do everything that you want in just the right way, just the way that you say to do it. And we are facing serious challenges. And I tell you what cured me of that. It was the story of the prodigal son. Not the prodigal who left, but it was the prodigal who stayed at home and served and did everything the right way. And God spoke and said, you know, he may have stayed home and he may have been doing the things the right way, but he still did not know his father. And service is not something that replaces our knowledge of God. Service is something that is birthed out of our knowledge and awareness of God. And if we ever find ourselves inclined to the mindset that God is holding out, it is only a matter of time before we're going to cave into temptation or to cave into sin. And so God, in his mercy, he showed me that. And I said, you know what, God? I want to participate. I want the feast with you. I want the joy and the celebration of that which was lost being found. I want to know the Father's heart. God, teach me your ways. See, I think that God loves a celebration. I really do. If the angels are throwing a celebration every time a sinner repents, I believe that God wants us to celebrate as well. And so we have kept his ordinance. We have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. And so now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. All of those things God was aware of. Those were things that people were saying, and people didn't think that he was paying attention, and yet he knew everything that was going on. There's a song that was made popular many, many years ago, and it mentions God, so you would think it was a spiritual song, but it really wasn't. It was really an insult on God. It said, God is watching us from a distance, and from a distance, everything looks beautiful and everything looks peaceful here on earth and everything looks calm, but you are so distant that you are removed and you don't know the pain and the agony and the anguish and the misery that's going on down here. I want you to know God is fully aware, fully cognizant of everything that is going on. The proud are not blessed. They are opposed by God. The reason that I say that is because the scripture says God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So the proud are not blessed. The wicked are not exalted. They are just not being weighted down by their sins at this point in time. They are deceived. They are deluded. And so I want to encourage you not to embrace that. It says they even tempt God and go free. I want you to know that maybe they are free for a season, but they are still in captivity. When I was a youth pastor, I had this illustration that I did. I had a large glass pickle jar. It was a gallon-sized pickle jar, and there it had been emptied and cleaned, and I took this bug and I put this insect down inside this jar, and I screwed the lid on it, and I said, is that bug alive or is it dead? And everybody said, no, the bug is still alive. See, you can see it. It's moving around in there. It's still functioning. And I said, well, it's still functioning, but I'm here to tell you it's dead. It just doesn't know it yet, because every second that goes by, the atmosphere inside that jar is becoming more and more toxic, and it is only a matter of time until that insect gives up its life and it dies. And so I said, what God wants to do for you and I, because there are a lot of people who are pursuing wickedness and they are just like this insect in the jar. They look like they're free. They act like they're free. They appear like they're living, but in this closed environment of sin, they're actually just dead, waiting to die. They are the living dead. And then all of a sudden I took a hammer and I smashed the jar into a million pieces. And I said, and that's what Jesus does for us. He comes and he smashes, destroys the yoke of captivity. He destroys the bonds of sin and he sets the captives free. And I want you to know today that people who tempt God, they may appear free, but they're not, but God wants them to be. All they've got to do is cry out to him and say, Father, forgive me. I want to know you as the Lord of my life. That's the negative part of the things that God remembers. In verse 16, it says, then those who feared the Lord, they had a different conversation. Instead of those who were turning back and discouraged and were depressed, there were another group of people who were having a conversation, and God said, ooh, I like this conversation. And he began to eavesdrop on that conversation. The people who were sitting at this table who were having this conversation were those who did not have their focus upon the wickedness and the proud and those who were tempting God and turning their back on him. These were people who said, you know, I am so in awe of God that this is what I have learned. This is what I've seen. And It says those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. As you are preparing to go to church this week, I pray that you would go to listen. I pray that you would go with a testimony on your lips. I pray that you would go with a question or an area that you want to grow in and say, hey, can we have a conversation today? Can we talk about the things of God? Can we meet together? Instead of focusing on the tragedies of the world, can we focus on the God who is going to triumph even over those tragedies? Can we talk about God this morning? Can we talk about God? And it says, as these people who feared the Lord. Now listen, it wasn't just a curiosity. It wasn't just a you don't have anything better to do. These were people who had gathered because they wanted to honor God in their conversation. They wanted to have a discussion with other believers that was going to edify them all. And so they began to have a conversation, and it said, and the Lord listened, and he heard them. The Lord listened, and he heard them. I tell you that when you and I are discussing the things of God, right now he's listening to this radio program. He's listening to the words that you're discussing. By the way, the Bible says we're going to have to give an account for every idle word. I believe that word idle could very well mean words that are spoken without faith. So I want us to focus today on speaking words of faith and words of life, that we discuss our relationship with God, with our kids, with our family, with our church, with our neighbors, with our coworkers. And we do it in a manner that's not a beat down, but it's actually an encouragement. You know, when my wife and I, whenever we're brainstorming, a lot of times she comes up with an idea, and then I will come up with an idea, or I will mention something to her, and she comes up with an idea, and then I come up with a response to that, and she comes up with a response, and that's how we come up with some of our best ideas, is we meet together, we converse, we collaborate with you, if you will. And I believe that is one of the things that I see taking place in the body of Christ, that one of the reasons that the level of excellence is rising in the body of Christ is because people who do things well are collaborating with other people who do things well, and they are provoking one another to good works. They're provoking one another to a better awareness of God and what he wants them to do. So listen to what it says. So a book of remembrance. Remember, we're talking about what God remembers. God had a book that was written before him, and it says, for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. As God listened to that conversation, he said, I'm going to write this down in my book so that I don't forget it. Now, listen, God's memory is perfect. He doesn't need to write a book. He's got a perfect memory. He remembers every detail. It is what is under the blood of Jesus that is forgiven, and those things that we do for him are going to result in a reward of gold, metal, precious stones, or a crown that we're going to lay down at his feet. He's not going to forget. He doesn't forget anything that you've done, anything that you've abandoned for the sake of the kingdom. He said, you are not going to fail to receive your reward in the future life and in this life to come. I'm here to tell you he's got a great memory, but he's writing a bestseller that's going to be a bestseller in heaven about those who met together, conversed together, talked about how wonderful God was. They honored him when they came in. When you go into church this morning or this weekend, go there to honor him. Go there to honor him, not to be a distraction, not to focus the attention upon you, but to honor God, that you meet together and say, God, I just love you so much that I can't wait to talk with other believers. You see, if you walk in awe of God, you are not going to be a lone ranger. You are not going to be an isolationist. You are going to meet together. You are going to worship together. You are going to grow together. And God says when this body of believers comes together and begin to discuss their relationship with me, I'm going to have a book of remembrance written because they fear the Lord and they meditate on his name. That just doesn't mean they give him a passing thought, that they actually focus attention. They're striving to learn. They are striving to make sure that the things that they've heard are things that they don't forget. Listen to what he says. they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man who spares his own son who serves him. They shall be mine. Those are God's kids. That's the way God's kids behave. They stand in awe of him. They meditate on him day and night. They are stable. They are planted, but like a tree beside the river. They are going to be fruitful even in dry seasons. They don't view themselves as an island to themselves. They view themselves as the beneficiaries of a wonderful Savior, a mighty God. And they converse with other people, and God says, That's my inheritance. Those are my kids. That's the way my kids behave. They shall be mine. And I like this. On that day, I will make them my jewels, or literally that word means my special treasure. You know, everybody that's listening to this radio program, and even those who aren't, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants somebody to say, you are a treasure. You are special. And God says that his treasure are when his people who've been forgiven and they stand in awe of him, they meet together, they discuss God, and they just constantly focus their thoughts upon him and what they can do for him. And God says, that's the way that my treasured people, my special jewels, behave themselves, and I will make them, I declare that those are mine. Now, here's the thing. When you see a toddler in a nursery and another toddler comes in there, you don't have to teach them to say, oh no, this toy is mine. Even if it's not theirs, it's mine. They're playing with it. It's, as far as they're concerned, it's mine. I want you to know God is not doing it from a selfish mindset. He is declaring it as a statement for everyone to know. Those are mine. Those people are mine. They have my covenant protection. If you mess with them, you mess with me. I'm going to spare them. I'm going to protect them. I will be their deliverer. Father, this weekend, I pray that in churches all across the county, we will be in awe of you. We would come to honor you. We would meet together. We would discuss you. And Lord, I pray that every church that preaches the word of God would know that they are your treasured people. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart.
I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?